Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
And in John 15:8, it says this, the scripture says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." And some of the fruit Christians we've been working on bearing is the fruit of the Spirit, in which I mentioned the fact that we will be talking about that in the next few weeks. And in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." And so this is what we're aiming at in the next few weeks. You know, I want to come at this series just a little different way. I know many of you, if you've been in Sunday school, if you've been in church a while, you've heard teaching on the fruits of the Spirit. You've heard all these things. But I want to come at this preaching series in just a little bit of a different way. I feel led to share stories of people in the Bible that these fruits were apparent in their life. And I believe we can glean from other people's lives and learn something from them. Naturally, I thought about Jesus. How many know Jesus can, you could preach about Jesus on every one of these fruits. He was perfect. He was wonderful in everything. And I could preach about Christ and on every one of these. And because He is the champion of producing fruit. I mean, our King is the champion. Amen. He never messed up, He never failed, He never sinned. So He is the champion of the fruits of the Spirit as He walked upon this earth. And that earthly body that was just like yours and mine, He walked and He was the champion of producing those fruits. But many would say, "Well, that was Jesus. What do you expect?" So I want to bypass that comment and look at some others that walked in these fruits, that had these fruits in their life that you and I could connect with, maybe on a little more of a level of familiarity. And I may use him on the last one, which, and also throughout some of these, just to kind to reference him. I will be doing that this morning. But I'm going to be using everyday people like you and me. And sometimes we look at the characters or we see the names in the Bible and we think, "Well, there's somebody special." But can I tell you, they were just like you and I. They were just as human as you and I. And they needed the Holy Spirit just like you and I. And so sometimes we need to connect with their humanity and who they were. You know, love is the first fruit, and rightly so, since it is probably the most important fruit in our life to be able to produce this love. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now abides faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." The greatest of these fruits is love, that fruit that will abide. 1 John 4:8 says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Romans 13:10, "Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." This morning we're taking a look at a disciple as we look at this man because we know the importance of love. We're taking a look at a disciple who is actually called the Apostle of Love. That's quite the name, to be called the Apostle of Love. He's John, the son of Zebedee, is the one that we'll be looking at this morning. John, the son of Zebedee. He is known for writing the Gospel of John, plus 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation. He was a native of Bethsaida. His mother, Salome, was maybe the sister of Mary, which would make him a cousin to Christ, who would be later found ministering to the Lord, his mom would be. His father was a fisherman and he was well off in the community. He had his own professional business of fishing. That's who John was working for. He was the youngest of the disciples of those that we have listed in the Bible. He is also would be found in Jesus' inner circle when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, when he went up to raise the young girl from her deathbed. Jesus, John was in that inner circle. This guy we're talking about was named the Apostle of Love. And so we're going to look at him this morning just for a few moments. The first thing I want you to see when we look at this guy, John, he was called to be different. He was called to be different. When we look at John and understand that he was called to be different, in Mark chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, when he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them and they left their father Zebedee and the boat with the hired servants and went after him. This is the moment that Jesus called John to be different. Called him out of what he had been doing and now calling him into something else. Called out of a lifestyle that he knew unto one into one that he would be taught. Listen, can I tell you something? Just when we get to be a Christian doesn't mean we know how to be a Christian. Just because we get saved does not mean we know how to be a Christian. There's something that must be different in our life. And this man, this God, this apostle of love was called to be different. And I think sometimes we don't get that. This would require John to become a disciple of Jesus. Can I tell you the word disciple means to follow, to learn, to study, to understand who Jesus is about. In those days when they laid claim to be a disciple, that meant they would study the master. They would study what he moved, how he did this and how he did that. They would actually live with that person and learn who he is. So he was a disciple of Christ. He would also require him to let go of the old and to welcome the new. Could you imagine John sitting out there fishing in his dad's business, doing things as normal? How do I know he's well off? Because his dad has servants. And then Jesus calls him from the shoreline, come and follow me. Can I tell you from that moment on, John was called out of who he used to be into something different. His life would change from that moment on. And it would never go back to that. Called to be different. In other words, this was a turning point in John's life. A time of turning. Not a perfect moment, but a starting moment. Come on, sometimes we expect somebody to be perfect when they give their heart to the Lord. Can I tell you, it's just a starting moment. Amen. And the church needs to have patience, mercy, grace in order for that person to grow in the Lord. And this was a turning moment, a starting moment for John, listen, to be different. He was no longer going to be known John the fisherman of fish, but John the fisherman of man. He was no longer to act and do like the world, but he was called into a new life following Christ. Called to be different. I believe the church has failed in this area in many times. We're more interested in a hand count of who got saved. Every year with the Assembly of God, we have to fill out how many people got saved that year. And it should be how many people have become disciples. How many people are following Jesus? How many people have changed their lives? How many women have got a new husband because Jesus has come into their heart? I'm saying today we have failed in this area because we need to understand we're not calling people out to be the same, but we're called into a different, to be different in the world that we live in. John was called to be different from that moment on. We teach having a prayer of salvation, but forget to mention that they are being called into a different lifestyle from that moment on. I'm going to tell you, I'm the type of guy, if I'm making a deal with you, I need to know everything about it. If I'm going to sign a contract, I'm going to read it. Why? Because I want to understand it. And sometimes we bring people down to the altar and say, repeat after me, but we don't give them the insight. Hey, God is calling you to be different from this moment on. Calling you to change. Calling you into a new life. Calling you to be somebody that you weren't before you came down. First thing that we find about John, Jesus wasn't calling him to be like he was. He's calling him to change. Changing into the way of life to become a disciple of Christ. Listen, this is not preaching works this morning. This is preaching that Jesus living in you will produce the fruits of repentance. There's a change that happens when you come into the life of Christ. There's a difference that you will be seen in you. God has called us to be different. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I mean, you know, the priests were different than the others. They had a different ministry. They were to intercede, be in between God and man. His own, I like this, his own special people. Now, I've had people tell me, hey, pastor, you're special. But a lot of times it's said in not a good way. But Jesus says this. And this, Peter writes, according under the unction of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he says, we are God's special people. That is called to be different in the world that we're living in. Called to be different. I'm not called to be like the world, but I'm called to come out of the world. I'm called to be a light to the world. How can I be the light to something that I look just like and act like? I am called to be different. The Word of God speaks of it. He says that you may proclaim the praise of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Called to be different. Who once were not a people that are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. My friend, today we are chosen in the sense that we have been called to be different, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people is what the King James says, but it's a special people. This whole scripture speaks that we are called to be different. Called to be different than the world. And so we find John starts it this way. You know, the first step to producing fruit of love in our life is to have God dwelling in us. I cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit of love without the Holy Spirit living in me. The second is realizing that we have been called to be different and we need to own it. We need to own it, church, today. We don't need to be looking for excuses why we can live like the world, act like the world, and still expect to go to heaven. We need to own it that I've been called out of the darkness into the light. I need to own the fact that Jesus has put a call upon my life and that I need to act like I'm different from the world. Because it's there that we start to be able to produce. If I don't realize that I'm different, then I'm going to respond to my situations in life like I'm part of the world. If I don't realize that I've been called out, that I'm different, then I'll continue to let the flesh operate in my body. The first call to producing love is realizing and accepting I'm called to be different. Because it's there that I understand that now I am in a different operating system. The old has been took out, the new has came in, and now the fruits of the Spirit are to stir up inside of me, and I need to start responding like I have Jesus in my heart. We're not called to be like the world. We're called to be different. And when we start to own that, it's then love can start to be produced in our heart, and we can love like God loves. We can love like Christ loves. And then it makes a whole different perspective in my life on how the fruits are being produced in my life. I'm going to tell you, all of us have was raised in the world for a while. Some of you got saved off early. Some of us got saved later on. Some of us bounced in and out. But I'm going to tell you something. We learn a lot of traits of the world. And a lot of the traits of the world that we learn are the traits of how the world treats one another. Come on, we're living in a time today. I read remarks and I think that is the rudest thing I ever heard in my life. And if we're not careful, we don't understand that we are called not to be that way. We are called to be different. We are not called to operate in the rules of darkness, but we are called to operate in the rules of light. Not the world. Let's quit expecting the world to operate in the rules of light when they're living in darkness. We need to understand today, church, that we are called into light and we are to operate in those rules and those precepts and in those fruits. So the first step to John being called the apostle of love was understanding he's been called to be different. If y'all don't understand that I'm called to be different, I'm going to live like everybody else. And I'm going to treat you like everybody else. It must be called to be different. John's life would never be the same again. God interrupted his family business that he was probably going to own for something else. Can I tell you though, this morning, being called is just the start. It's just the start of it. If I can't accept the different that I'm called to be different, then the rest of it will never really take place in my life. I need to understand this is just a start in my life. John's production of love needed some work. Another thing I've seen with John's life, his production of love needed some work. He had a lot of zeal without love. Have you figured out yet that when we serve God, there's a process of growing? There's a process of getting where God wants us to be. And in that process, there's going to be a lot of different opportunities and trials that's going to help us grow if we'll listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can help you grow and help me grow even in my failures if I will listen to Him. He will help me grow in the fruits of the Spirit if I will but listen to Him say, Billy, that was not what I would have done. And you know, I've only heard that, I can't tell you how many times. I'm just saying today, if we will let God speak into our life and our heart, the Spirit will even help us through our failures to become somebody better. Somebody better. John, listen, in Mark 3:17, we find James the son of Zebedee and John the brother of James to whom he gave the name Boerges. I've practiced that. And it meant that is the sons of thunder. The sons of thunder. What a nickname Christ gave these two. He says, I'm calling you the sons of thunder. Now, some in the early church understood this name as a compliment, thinking it meant that James and John's witness to Jesus would be as strong as thunder. But most see it as pointing to a flaw in their character. Pointing to a flaw in their character. Let me know, with every scripture, you can get several different opinions. But Christ called them sons of thunder. What was this? We find some scriptures that may explain to a little bit that John's love was quite needed some developing, some growing in this. He had this nobody but us syndrome, which shows a lack of love. Listen, when we have the nobody but us syndrome, shows a lack of love for everybody else that's not in your group. And it will always prevail through because you are letting that guide who you let in and who you let out. And it is, a love is something that should be for everybody. We find in Mark chapter 9:38. Now Jesus answered him saying, Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us. Has somebody doing the very work that they were doing, but it wasn't with his group, so he said, you can't do that. How many of you know that expresses a lack of love? Expresses a lack of love to those that were working in the kingdom of God. Can I tell you, for the longest time, denominations have had that attitude. If you're not this denomination, you can't do the work. If you don't take communion with us, you're not where you need to be with God. Can I say today that if the Christ is being preached and people are being saved, the kingdom of God is growing. John says he's in this inclusive type of group that was not letting anybody else in, because that's a lack of love. He needed that moment to grow. We have another one, is that, you know, he had to be above everybody else, ambition. He wanted to be seen as the disciple. You find it in Mark 10, 35 and 37. Then James and John, the son of Zebedee, came to him saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant us that we may sit one on your right side and the other on your left in your glory. They had an ambition that said, I don't care about the rest of the people here. They're in love for everyone. Only us and what we can be seen in God's movement. Can I tell you something? There's something wrong when we want to be the highest lifted up person in the congregation. There are maybe in the church world, because see, that is nothing to do with God. And if I'm that way, I have no love for anybody else. I don't have time to look into their lives. And this is what was happening with John. He had a problem that he needed to work for, an ego that he needed to let God needed to let the air out a little bit. See, there's no love in that type of ambition. Because when you have that type of ambition in your life, you don't care who you step on to get there. Ambition. There's nothing wrong with having good ambition, but when it hurts other people and you don't care about them, then there's an issue. See, love doesn't act that way. And here's my favorite one this morning. Let us zap them, Lord. Now, it doesn't say that in the King James or the New King James or the New Living Translation, maybe in the Billy Snyder Bible. But they ran across some guys, Luke chapter 9, 52 and 54, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered into a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? You know what? When we have that attitude, God just take them out. They had no love for the Samaritans, and it came really easy for them because the Samaritan and the Jewish people were always in conflict. Ever since they came back from the Babylon captivity, the Samaritan and the Jews never got along. So this was really coming easy for John to say, hey, can we call fire down upon them? They weren't really concerned about Jesus' reputation. They were just wanting to get those people burned up. Can I tell you, most of the time when we come out of the old world, we have to let go of some of those things that we've had prejudice against for a lifetime. Those things that have been taught in a family. Those things that have been brought down from generation to generation. Because if we're not careful, we can't let the love of God grow in us because we are not living like God wants us to live. I look back in the church and I can't figure out why we ever have all the different colored churches. I understand language, but I don't get all the colors. John had an issue. John's love was not there. How many know that Jesus died for the Samaritans just like he died for the Jews? He died for the Gentiles just like he died for the Jews. Jesus came for everybody, not just a certain one, not just the Jewish people, but Jesus came for every human being. And love's got to stir up inside of us. John hadn't got that yet. He was ready to send them all to hell without even the opportunity to hear about Jesus. Can I say that's nothing but prejudice working? So John needed some work. Even though he's been called to be different, God is working in his heart. John needed work. Can I tell you, every one of us in this house need the Lord to do work in our love. It's not like we're downloaded. It's got to be produced in our life. It's got to be letting things go that has been in our operating system for quite some time. I mean, I can think all threes. I'm guilty in all three of these areas that John was guilty in until the Lord started to work in my life. I had ambition. Oh, yes, I did. Did I have prejudice? Yes, I did. I'm confessing to you today, I couldn't have the love of God stir up inside of me if I held on to what I learned in there. I'm going to say today that all of us are a work in process and progress, and God is wanting to do that work. It is with all of us that God must work in our life, that love stirs up inside of us. I've had to get over teachings that I had when I was a kid. I had to get over some critical things or things that I was taught not to like and let God do a work inside of me. I'm going to tell you today, is it in the church today, lack of love? Yes, it is. I was reading stories preparing for this message, and a pastor told of a time he walked out of the sanctuary into the foyer and seen two Christian ladies pulling hair and gouging, trying to gouge each other's eyes out and fighting in the foyer. Where's love? Oh, I'm just going to be honest in the church. I've heard stories in this district of members fighting the pastor, literally punching in a board meeting. Can I tell you, I've decided a long time ago I'm not going to punch one of the board members. If they want blue paint, let it be. They'll have to deal with it. But I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about people that have been called to be different, acting just like the world. In the church, does the church need help? I've heard stories of kids growing up calling themselves Christians but fighting like every other kid. Ooh, now I stepped on toes. I had one young man tell me, if that person's a Christian, I disagree with you because there's no way that person can be a Christian and act like they do with the temper they have. I'm just saying this morning, I'm not here to step on the toes, but I'm here to say that there's not a one of us in this house that doesn't need God to work on our love. Our love is not perfected toward one another, and John, who was called the Apostle of Love, had to go through some time in his life of developing and letting God get rid of some things in his life that he could love like God would have him to love. Come on, it's got to be that way. I can't be happy. I'll hear someone say a word and I says, you know, that's totally out of date and you should never said it in to start with. I'm just saying some of the things that we learn growing up are not things that God is proud of. And sometimes we need to let the love of God stir up inside of us and get rid of some of that stuff that we allow to come out of our mouth. See, there's no love in backbiting. There's no love in tearing somebody up. There's no love in that kind of stuff. And if you think God's approving it, you're wrong. God is talking to you to get that out of your life. Now y'all are all quiet. Love is something that is developed. It is something that we work through. And God has to deal with some of the stuff that we have got rooted into us in order for the love to come out. And that's what he was doing with John. He called them sons of thunders. Why? Because they were just like a lit fuse. Every time something didn't go right, they had a little temper. I mean, you know, when you get mad, you lose your love. And so this is what's taking place. God's working with them. Here, in 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, which is called the love chapter. I just got the reference to it. Though I speak with tongues. Listen to what it says. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. In other words, I can be the best little deacon, or I can be the best preacher around, or whatever it might be in the church, but if I don't love the people, if I don't love my neighbor, if I don't love those around me, then every work that I'm doing is nothing in God's sight. How important it is, I would say that is very important. That love is in my life. John needed that developed. See, the Lord's love is something that must grow in us. And if we're willing, we're able to let God's love mature. Art told me something when he taught and preached on the fruits of the Spirit. He says, spoke of the fact, some people produce fruit faster than others. I'm going to tell you, sometimes it takes some a little longer to grow love. Others grow it quickly. And all of it takes a moment to do it. See, love is something that is developed. Just because John was called to be different, he had to be worked on in order to be called the apostle of love. Come on, I put my hand. God still works in my situation every now and then. He says, you should have been a little different with that. And you know, I would think that would quit every now and after a while, but it's a work in progress. Listen, we can't say, well, that's just the way I am. When you say that's just the way I am and you've been serving God for many years, that means you don't want to give up what God's trying to get out of your life. Don't shout me down this morning. That says, I know my problem. Others know my problem. I'm going to keep my problem. This love is the fruit of the Spirit, not the flesh, that I'm speaking of today. It's a love that comes supernaturally within us. It's not found in our natural habitat of the flesh. You won't find the love that I'm talking about this morning in the natural habitat of our flesh. You find it in the Spirit of the living God. And we are supposed to be spiritual people. That type of love. And just as John needed work, we all need work in our lives. All of us. About the time I think I got this thing figured out, I find that I got work. God still does a work on me. So what made the difference in John's life? How did he go from being different, like God called him? How did he go from being that man that said, hey, Lord, let me strike him down with some lightning? How did he go from that man to the man that's called the apostle of love? Because I think it's not just good to preach at myself and you. I think we need a game plan. Amen? And so how did this happen? I'm going to tell you, it's very simple. Hanging with Jesus. Hanging out with Jesus made a difference in John's life. One of the first books I studied for credentials as an Assembly God minister was The Life of Christ. And I still have that book. It's about that. But I like it because it wasn't real big. But I like it because we went through the life of Christ in the Gospels. I enjoyed it tremendously reading about His life. And then when I visited Israel, it was even better when I got to walk the places that Jesus walked. even got better then. But listen, the apostle of love, John, experienced Christ in a different fashion. He spent 24/7 with Jesus for a little over 3.5 years. And then he also spent time with him after the resurrection and witnessed Jesus ascending into heaven. I mean, it wasn't like, hey, it's just a moment on the beach. He spent time with the Lord. And when he first started spending time with the Lord, John was a little rough. But if you can imagine, the longer you hang out with somebody, the more you become like them. Some of you that have been married 50 years can answer your spouse's question before they ask you. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you haven't been married long enough. It scares me sometimes. I'll be thinking about something and Robin will say it. I'm going, I got to watch what I'm thinking. Listen, being with Jesus literally changed the way John would express love. Some of you made the comment of watching The Chosen and how just seeing Jesus in that human form and how he dealt with people had stirred your heart. Could you imagine John walking with him? Jesus preached about love and he lived it. Jesus said a sermon like this, John got to hear the sermon about love thy enemy. He heard the one said, love thy neighbor. He heard the one that says, love the Lord God with all thy heart. And then he heard this, love one another as proof of being a disciple. What am I saying? He sat there with Christ through the sermons, but not only that, he watched Jesus live these things. He seen Jesus show love to others. He watched the woman that was caught in the act of adultery be dragged out to be stoned. And Jesus did what he did by not saying a word. He says, woman, where are those that accuse you? Now go and sin no more. I'm saying that walk with Christ, reading about him, living with him, watching him preach and also living out, started having an impact on John's heart. Maybe when he thought about the Samaritans, when he found Jesus at the well with the Samaritan woman, and he led her to him, and then she comes back with a harvest, and he says, look under the fields for there arrived a harvest. Maybe it started to impact him a little bit about his prejudice that he had, realizing that Jesus loved them also. Hanging out with the Lord had a huge impact on John's life. They interrupted a funeral procession, a mother who had lost a son, and Jesus reaches down. He sees the woman crying and aching and hurting, and Jesus reaches down and touches the coffin, and the man sets up. He didn't have to do that. He met with the woman where she's at in that grieving. He watched Peter, who had badmouthed him and denied him in front of others, watch Christ show him the love on the beach cooking some catfish. And he said to Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Who's he speaking to? He's talking to a man that denied him and even cursed. And a man that said, I will never leave your side. Betrayed him. And he watched Jesus restore that man out of a heart of love. I'm saying something changed John, and it was being with Jesus, our Lord and Savior. It was hanging out with Jesus that changed who he was. It was there that we find John being moved. And most of all, the love that Christ displayed on the cross and the revelation later of what it meant. He was there at the foot of the cross when Jesus says, take care of my mama. And then later, realizing the reason Christ was up on the cross is because he loved us enough. Can you imagine when he penned John 3:16? It probably took him 45 minutes to an hour to write that down. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The revelation of who Christ is and how it impacted him and influenced him, changed the way he treated other people because that love started to stir up inside of him. He also witnessed Jesus loving the sinner and even the disciple enough to call them out of sin. Jesus didn't let you walk in your sin. He was going to tell you about it. And also the disciple, when they needed to correct it, he told Peter, he says, I love you enough to tell you, get behind me, Satan. Can I tell you, you're not showing people love when you let them sit there in their sin. You need to say lovingly, kindly, and let them know the truth. I know that's considered hate speech nowadays, but it's actually love speech. See, Jesus' influence in John's life had a profound effect on him. Had a profound effect on him. It changed who he was. It has been seen in his writing, the one Christ loved. If you read the book of John, you'll find the one who Christ loved. And then also loved one another. He speaks in his other writings. He says, and also he loved the lost. Did you know he's not only called the apostle of love, but he's also called the apostle of evangelists, John the evangelist. He loved the lost enough that he would tell them about Christ. It was seen in his commitment, literally arrested many times for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was seen in his stance against wrong. He called them out when they were wrong. And it was seen in the way he lived his life. Now it's said that John, after he was on the island of Patmos, got released and went back to Ephesus and lived out his life. In his commentary on Galatians 16, Jerome tells us a famous story of Blessed John the Evangelist, is what he calls him. In extreme old age at Ephesus, he used to be carried into the congregation in the arms of his disciples and was unable to say anything except, listen to what he would say, little children, love one another. At his old age, he would say, little children, love one another. Quite different than he was when he was calling down fire. At least worried that he was always spoke the same words. They asked him, Master, why do you always say this? And it was because he replied, it's the Lord's command, and if this only is done, it's enough. What happened to him? From being called to be different, from needing work on his love, hanging out with Jesus Christ completely changed his heart on how to love one another. Are we having a hard time loving this morning? Maybe we need to spend more time with Christ. More time at the altar. More time in His Word. I encourage you, read the Gospels. Matthew through John. Read His stories. Let it get into you because it will impact our life when it comes to loving others. Where do we spend time with Christ? We spend it in His Word, especially the Gospels, in prayer, and in conversation with Him during the day. You know what I've told, what I've found? The more I pray, the more I talk to Him during the day. Christ is who impacts us. Paul gives us a definition toward a love toward others. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, love suffers long. Listen to this. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bear all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. You want a list of how to work on our love toward one another? There it is. Now, if I was to ask you if you've been perfect in love and all those things, I'd have you stand up right now. And I'm going to need to go. Because, see, love's a work in my life. And sometimes we expect, and this is what I don't get, is we expect everybody to have that in their life. But we cut ourselves slack. If we want love to develop, we need to get in the presence of the Lord, and we need to let God. And we need to be honest with ourselves about the way we behave toward one another and start letting God develop the love in our lives that need to be. To grow in His love is a must. Sometimes it's challenging. God's going to bring somebody in your life that's very hard to love. How many of you got somebody? Don't raise your hand. Oh, too late. Sometimes, listen, sometimes we revert back to not expressing His love as much as we should, and we need to get back in the presence of the Lord. But we never should be happy in staying in one spot of not loving as Christ loves others. We should say we need to go forward. God, I need Your grace. God, I need Your help. I need this fruit that developed in John, the apostle of love. I need it to develop in my life. Lord, don't send all of them at once at me. Let me work on one at a time. But God, let me develop the love as a fruit of the Spirit. Because can I tell you, when it's the fruit of the Spirit, it's a love beyond your capacity that God is working in your life. Amen.